Oh, way! Sorry. I've just seen my wife, Mary, appear in the kitchen doorway with a mug of coffee.
Noisy.
But she's been very indecisive.
What's the matter with you?
She's not ventured onto the patio with a drink. Nor is she retreating back inside. She's remaining where she is. As am I. Because I'm in the shed doorway with the sun loungers. But I'm not going to put them up yet. Not until I'm confident it's going to be a scorcher. Mm-hmm. Look at us. Only an idiot would fail to see that we're behaving very much like the man and the lady that you get in those weather houses that people used to put on the mantelpiece. Do you remember? Except, of course, Mary's not in a long frock. She's in a tracksuit. And I'm not holding an umbrella. I'm holding a can of WD-40.
We present The Shuttleworths, Episode 6, Midsummer Madras.
Unfortunately, the comparison falls flat on its face when you realise that Mary and I are not connected by a wooden beam and our movements aren't controlled by a piece of catgut. Yeah, I'm going to apply some lubrication to the moving parts of the sun loungers. Don't worry, they're not seizing up, just a bit squeaky. Mary! Hang on, love. Excuse me. Mary! Mary!
No,
are you all right?
I'm all right, love.
What is it, love? What's happened?
There's a mouse. It's just gone under the fridge.
A mouse?
Mm.
You sure it wasn't a rat?
Oh, thank you very much, Jan.
Just on the classic...
You have?
No, I'm sure it's just a mouse. Mm, it's all
it
right.
Was. Yeah. Coming from outside.
I'm not going to look for the mouse immediately, Mary.
Why not?
I'm sorry, because my immediate concern is for you.
Well, get the mouse, then.
You can't see, ladies and gentlemen, but Mary is balanced precariously on the bar stool.
No, because I'm scared at mouse.
And you're going to tumble.
I'm not.
You are.
No,
now, come on. Let me give you a fireman's lift.
Get your blinking hands off me, Jan.
Oh, Mary, you hurt me then, love.
Did I?
You're probably not aware, because you're in an anxious state.
Yeah,
but your nails sunk into me.
I'm
like,
sorry.
Talons of a bird of prey.
Well, no, just get the bloody mouse, Jan.
Don't you shout at me, Mary. Please.
Well, just find the mouse.
All right, I will.
Thank you.
I looked for the mouse, but it was nowhere to be seen. Could Mary have been mistaken and what she took to be a mouse have been just a holly leaf blowing in on the summer breeze? But that would have meant a green mouse, you might argue. No, not if the leaf had aged prematurely and turned brown before falling off the tree. Or it could be a little scrunched up piece of gaffer tape, packaging tape, something like that. Anything that resembled a mouse could have been mistaken for one. You see, I do this quite a lot, usually when I'm hungry, with a heightened state of awareness. But very often I'll see something, I'll hear a noise, and it turns out not to be what I first thought it was. I went to the shops and I jumped with shock when I heard an Alsatian snarling. But it was just a gust of wind that was ruffling the butcher's awning. A wasp alighted upon my coat. I said, "Get off me, Jasper." Then swiftly twigged it was the thingamajig that draws the waistband tighter. Yeah, you know, a little toddler was dancing about in the midriff area and thought it was a wasp. A man came walking towards me with his arms raised ready for combat. But then I saw it was nothing more than four markings on his anorak. Yeah, his hands were by his side, taking out a little rhythm. He seemed a nice lad, and it's a shame he didn't want to stop to discuss the misunderstanding. Yeah. Oh, who's that? Excuse me. Ken! Oh. It's Ken Worthington. I don't need to say come in, because Ken is already hovering in the doorway.
Well, it was open, John.
That's right, yes, the door was open.
Yes.
But out of common courtesy, Ken still rang the bell. Oh. And I thank you for that, Ken.
Nice.
Now, yeah. What can I do you for? I see you clutching your clarinet. Mm. Have you come to give us a tune?
Well, I could give you a tune, but... it's Karen in.
No.
Because she's expressed an interest in learning the clarinet.
That's sure.
Because it's similar fingering to a recorder. So, you know, it's be quite a slight learning curve for her. But
well, I'm afraid, Ken, that she's not here. She's out with her friends. On the bikes, and they've taken the tennis rackets and the swimwear.
Yeah.
They'll be over the hills and far away by now, Ken.
Mm. All right.
You know, you missed them by several hours.
Well, that's fine. No problem.
What have you been doing, anyway? You've not been on your patio, have you?
No.
No, because there's
today.
A total absence of garden furniture.
Mm.
Look at our patio, Ken. Mm. Can you see from where you're standing?
Yes.
You can. There's rugs and sun lounges, magazines, discarded mugs. You know, a sure sign that people have been letting their hair down, enjoying themselves.
Good.
Which we have.
Lovely.
And it's a shame that you've not been around to partake of it.
Well, I've not had time, John. I've been into town, you know, to buy some stationery.
I see.
And I've just had my dinner. Mm. It's tandoori.
Oh.
The prawn madras.
Oh, Ken.
It's lovely.
Shutting yourself away in a darkened room with rich, spicy food.
Well...
On a glorious summer's day. You're crazy.
No, I'm not. Now, that's enough, John.
Ooh.
You know, you're laying into me. For no reason.
Oh,
I've come round in the spirit of friendship, and I don't want to be criticised for every detail of my life. That's enough. Now, back off.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm just going to walk out the door.
All right, Ken. Yeah. I'm sorry. I have been a bit heavy-handed in my treatment of you.
Mm.
I even snapped at Mary earlier.
Ooh.
And as a result, she's now quit the premises.
I see.
It's a hot, sultry day, Ken. Mm. Tempers are bound to fray.
Yes.
To make matters worse, there's a mouse in the house. I didn't want to tell you because I thought you'd be frightened. Ooh. Which I think Ken is, but he's disguising it well. He's gone straight onto the offensive. He's grabbed his clarinet and he's moving stealthily around the hall. Rather like a warrior of old, with a broadsword, you know, he's got a low centre of gravity. Careful, Ken. Oh. Don't mark our telephone table.
Sorry.
Please. That's no way to be treating your clarinet. Ken! I've just had a brilliant idea.
Pardon?
Come here.
What?
Play your clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little dainty tune.
Yes.
And you can entice the mouse out. Rather like...
The Pied Piper.
That's right, the Pied Piper of Amley.
Mm-hmm.
It's a... Fanciful idea.
It is.
It might not work.
Well...
Give it a try.
I'm not sure.
I mean, you're not dressed like the Pied Piper.
No.
Not remotely. Because you had long flowing robes. You've got a top that could only have come from the 1990s. It's very sheer, tight-fitting.
Right.
But your trousers, they're baggy. Pantaloons, aren't they? But give it a try. Oh, he is. Having a go. And nothing's happening.
Sorry. Hang on.
It's all right. Ooh, a moth has come fluttering down the stairs. That must be the one that flew into the bathroom last night when I was adjusting the caps on the linen cupboard, had the window open. And now Kirsty has come from the kitchen, wagging her tail, eager to hear Ken's tune. Blimey, there's a blue bottle in hot pursuit of Ken. Yeah, I mean, to be realistic, that fly's been going up and down the hall all morning. Yeah, sure enough, it's just double back. I don't think it was responding to Ken's ditter. But I am following Ken. Obviously, I have to, because I'm monitoring his progress as he steps out onto the drive.
Rubbish.
But he stopped.
Well, I'm sorry,
Ken.
My reader was disintegrated.
It was working, Ken.
It wasn't.
Well, it seemed to be.
Mm.
But now all the animals have dispersed.
No, it can't be helped.
Yeah, there's no sign of the mouse.
No.
But do remember, ladies and gentlemen, at this stage, we still can't be certain that there ever was a mouse on the premises.
Oh, now it's
well,
me.
I'm still of the belief that it was a piece of debris blown in on a freak gust of wind, which has now lessened considerably to the extent that it's
Hiya, Chris.
Completely still.
How you doing?
And very hot.
Not so bad.
Ooh. Next door's cat's attacking Ken's leg.
Get off.
Is he the latest victim of the hot weather? Or is he just bitter because he didn't take part in the original procession? Oh, mystery solved. He was after a prawn that was in Ken's trouser turn-up. That must have fallen in while he was eating his curry. Right, I'm taking dog for a walk. Oh, must remember to post my letter to Tony and Cherry Blair. Wondering if our two families can meet up at some point. It's a long shot to realise that, but you never know. Seems to be up for almost anything at the moment, doesn't he? Oh, my son Darren's just come down the stairs. He's on holiday now. All right for some, isn't it? But I can. Oof, ignored me completely. Come on, Kirsty, let's go. On a hot afternoon in early June, you might think nothing's baking, but the empty road and the smell of tar suggests you're not mistaken. The babies sleep, the kids are at school, the parents are out working. Silence fills the neighbourhood, suburbia's been forsaken. But stay a while and you will hear a car rug being shaken, and from a shed a lawnmower being ceremoniously taken. A tick from a parked car's bonnet as it cools down and contracts suggests the driver's just alighted. When you wonder, will they be back? A kamikaze bumblebee, the size of an old-fashioned penny, bomb dives a drive before careering round the semi. A suit appears in a porch, clicking a ballpoint pen. A blackbird goes ballistic and then calms down again. The smell of wood preservative drifts from a distant garden. The sun slides behind a cloud, the tar begins to harden. On a hot afternoon in early June, you might think nothing's cooking. If that's the case, I have to say that maybe you're not looking. Keep up, Kirsty.
Performed by Graham Fellows, with additional material by Martin Willis and Will Yap. The producer was Paul Schlesinger.